Okay, here's a challenge for women living in the empty nest years. Nancy Lee DeMoss wants to know, does God have something of eternal significance for you in this time of life?
God gives us a season where there's some margin. Let's be sure we're asking Him how it can be used for His glory, for the advancement of His kingdom.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, July 11th. All week, Nancy's been talking with pastors' wives Kim Wagner, Holly Eliff, and Rebecca Lutzer. She's continuing today in this series called Flourishing in the Empty Nest.
We represent actually a couple different decades here around this table. But what are some of the ways that children are grown, now they're grandchildren, what are some of the ways we can be investing in His kingdom, being fruitful, not just frittering our lives away and taking it easy, but really being useful for God's kingdom as we get to be older women?
I think there's a tendency, and we see it in our church, of women who have gone through all the stages of, you know, they've worked in the nursery, they've taught in preschool, or they've done their stint in the youth group, and now their kids are grown, and they think, okay, I've done all that, so now it's kind of my turn to not do that anymore. And what is tragic about that is that you take all of those years of walking after Christ and learning and experiencing things and gaining wisdom, and at the moment when God wants to then impart that wisdom to somebody else, you sit down. And I'm sorry, it's just not in the Bible.
Right.
There is no place where God says, sit down. And Nancy referenced in a previous recording about Caleb and God calling him out late in his life. And I just see the Lord do that so many times.
Tell us about that woman in your church who has been teaching third grade girls for years and years.
We have a precious woman in our church who died after a 20-year battle with cancer. But she decided, when she first found out she had cancer, she was teaching a class of 12-year-old girls, and she decided that she would not quit. She would go have chemo and then come that night and faithfully teach her class of girls. My daughter Jessica was the last class that she taught before she died. And to this day, Jessica can take the Bible and trace the red thread through the Bible. I mean, it was stuff that you would think 12-year-old girls would not want to know. But she had such a commitment to that class that her and her precious husband enabled her to teach that class. He would come with her, unload her from the car, put her in her wheelchair, push her in, hold the pictures up, put the charts on the wall that she could no longer do. And the girls through that class made a notebook together. Jessica still has her notebook of the scarlet thread through the Bible, and she can tell you what God was intentional about, why He came and what He was here to do. And
that reminds me of a woman I called Mom Johnson, who I lived with her and her husband when I was in college, and they were in their 60s then. They took me in for a couple of years. Fast forward, she died in her 90s. I'd been widowed the last couple of years after caring for her elderly husband for, he got sick and died before she did. And I saw her, she was probably 92 years of age. I went out and had lunch with her in California while I was out there for some other meetings. And she just had a doctor's appointment. Everything was great. She said, praising the Lord, she had great health. She was still studying God's word. She was still mentoring younger women. And right after I was out there, she got a diagnosis of leukemia, and within 6 weeks was with the Lord. Well, I went out for her funeral and had a woman, a young mom in her 30s probably, come up to me and introduce herself and say, Mom Johnson was discipling me, was mentoring me. Here was a woman in her 90s who said, "I'm by God's grace, I'm going to give out to other women as long as I have breath. I'm not just going to sit and take or soak or get bitter or get cranky. I'm going to be investing.
And that's the Titus II model. That, that is what our church tries to live by, what that the older women bringing along the younger women. And the younger women can be older to, you know, the 20-year-old is older than the 16-year-old, where she is setting an example in her living a life of faithfulness for younger women. Mm-hmm. We were traveling down to one of your Revive Our Hearts conferences, I believe, in Denton several years ago, and loaded up our church vans and our cars in a caravan headed down to Denton. And we stopped in and went into the convenience store where we were getting our snacks for the trip. And we've got girls from 7 years old up to ladies that are 70. And we are laughing and talking and visiting in the convenience store. And as they file all out, I'm the last one to check out. And it is so unusual for the world to see this kind of interaction going on. And the lady, since I was the last one, the lady that was checking us all out, she looked at me and she said, "What are y'all?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "I have never seen young people and old people. I'm sorry, but some of you are old and you've got these young people and you're all laughing and having fun together." I said, "Well, we're believers." And I explained to her what we were doing. And I said, "We're a church family. And this is how we operate. We're involved in each other's lives. We care for one another. We know what each other is going through." And that's the way scripture set it up. Really, older women have such a wealth of information, like you said, Holly, and life experience to pass on to younger ones, that if older women sit down and or go off on their motorhome trip for the next 9 months, we're missing out. The body is missing out if the older generation does not pour into these younger ones that
and
are
sometimes
coming
along. It's even through your mistakes.
Exactly.
I lead a mom's group in our church, and I had an older woman come to me and say, I can't speak into the lives of these young moms because I didn't do it right. Mm-hmm. I didn't spend the time I should have with my kids. I didn't lead them toward Christ. I'm divorced. I don't think I have anything to say." And I said, "Yes, you do. You can come say, I didn't do it right, but you pick up your Bible and learn from the Lord." And so even through our mistakes, we can still teach and point others toward Christ.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Elliot used to say, "It is never too late to obey." And that speaks to that. And I think I have another verse here that speaks to what we're talking about, Nancy. In 1 Corinthians 15, the last verse of the 15th chapter, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And sometimes it seems like our labor is in vain. We're weary, we're worn out, we want somebody else to do it, we want a break. But I'm going to bring up a new idea here that I think that the ministry of hospitality has gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
We're just rushing out of our houses, and then we rush back in and
it's true.
Put something in the microwave, feed everybody, and rush them out the door to a game or what. And I know life is busy, and I see my grandkids involved in a lot of things, but I think that we older women need to minister to some of the younger women. A lot don't know how to cook.
Right.
A lot don't know how to have a home prepared so you can have people come in. And maybe just one family at a time or one older person at a time who needs to be loved on, to just have that evening to bring a family in and feed them and play games and talk and ask some questions and listen to them and say, you know, how can we help you or minister to you? Yeah, you don't have to break your back cooking or cleaning.
Right.
I mean, you know, you want to have something nice and presentable. But I think that is a great way that we older ladies can minister to the younger ones, especially empty nesters, because then you don't have the little kids around and everything. What do you think about that?
I'm thinking of just so many different ways that older women can minister. The passage in Luke chapter 2 about Anna in the temple, and she had been married for 7 years, and then she was a widow until she was 84 years old. So she'd had many more years as a widow than she had married. But it says, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And she was there when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. She was one of the first to see him. And also one of the only ones, she and Simeon were the two that day who recognized who he was. There was all kinds of coming and going at the temple, but they were the ones who'd been waiting in the presence of the Lord, identified when Jesus showed up.
Yeah.
And then she, coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. So she had this network of relationships. She had earned the right to be heard, and she was sensitive to what God was doing, and a grateful woman, a praying woman, a not living those years in self-indulgence, not frittering her life away, but living purposefully, living intentionally. Mm-hmm. And then she has this ministry as an evangelist at 84 years of age, talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
And then I think about other women who, as they get older, become more narrow, more critical, more self-centered. In fact, I had two elderly great aunts who were sisters who lived together and with family members over many years. They were both Greek aunts and never spoke English really well. But one of them was so sweet, so gracious, had such a kind and gentle heart. And the other was, shall I just say, difficult? And you wonder, how can two sisters be so different? But the atmosphere, the way we shape the environment, just by our priorities, by our spirit, by what matters to us, by how we talk, how we respond. Two sisters were so different. I remember seeing them growing up and thinking, okay, I'm going to be one of those two kinds of women. Which one do I want to be? Well, I want to be the sweet one, the gracious one, the one whose presence is a fragrance. But it was helpful, and I saw this as a teenage girl and young adult, realizing I'm not going to be that kind of sweet, gracious, fragrant woman then, if I'm not becoming that now, which is why I've really encouraged younger women to be thinking about what kind of older woman do you want to be?
Right.
And realize I'm not just going to wake up. One thing I've always wanted to be besides old, Holly, is sweet. And I was not born that way. And I've noticed, and let me say a word to single women. I've noticed a lot of single women, as they get older, as we get older, who become not so gracious, not so sweet, more narrow, more critical, more censorious. But that's been a caution to me, seeing this in other people and saying, okay, I want to be more gracious, more loving, more kind, more sensitive to the needs of others. So again, it's painting a picture. The path of the righteous is like the light of the day that shines brighter and brighter until the fullness of day. Lord, what does that look like? What do you want my life to look like? And how can I put people around me, and how can I be intentional about people around me who will help me become more of that kind of woman? So I'm, I'm in my mid-50s. Holly, I really don't think I'm old, but
I'm glad, Nancy,
about getting old, and I want to be setting myself on a trajectory to be a fruitful, fragrant, faithful, gracious woman of God then.
And you're trying to prepare for that by knowing, okay, there are certain tendencies that I have, and asking God to change you, grow you up, you know, as you're growing old, to mature you in Christ. And I think it is so necessary to continue to have a teachable spirit all the way through to our last learner.
As long as you're breathing.
We had a little woman in our church in Oklahoma named Naomi Davis. And she was a widow, and she was what my husband called feisty, but had a tremendous heart for the Lord. And she would go with us on mission trips, and we would be exhausted at the end of the day. And she would walk in and say, "Why are y'all sitting here? What are you? are y'all tired? And we're like, yes. And so we had said to Miss Davis, she was 87, I think, at that point. We had said to Miss Davis, it would be good if you would just stay in the hotel today and rest up a little bit. We had had some really long days. And so we left and we were doing ministry stuff. And she waited about 15 minutes after we left. And then she snuck out of her room, came down, sat in the lobby and witnessed to people all afternoon long while we were gone. And she was a phenomenal woman. And I remember when she told me about her mission trip to India. I think she was about 77 at that point. And she said, I walked into our hotel in India and I pulled back the covers and my linens were filthy and they were covered with spiders and there were spiders all over the corners of the room. And she said, I looked at that and I thought, there are people in this town who don't know Jesus, and a few spiders are not going to keep me from telling them about him. And she said, I swept the spiders off my pillow, and I slept like a baby. And she was 77 years old, and she was a warrior for the Lord. She was so anxious for others to know about him and not to waste one day.
Let me just share with you as we close here a burden that's been on my heart a lot through the course of the years we've been doing Revive Our Hearts. And that is this whole demographic of the baby boomers, which many of us are in. There are 77 million baby boomers in this country. The first wave of those has now hit retirement age and a lot to follow. It's the largest generation our country's ever had and probably the largest ever will have due to declining birth rates. That generation is living longer, is healthier, in spite of financial challenges, actually is better off than most previous generations. What if millions of those baby boomers are women who call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, and whose children are grown? A lot of them are in that season, where there's a window there, when your children are grown, before you have a lot of grandchildren. That for many women, there's a several-year window there. They've still got a lot of energy. They've got time. They've got some resources. And what's happening is women in churches have said to me, women's ministry leaders, pastors' wives have said, so many of those women at that season are going back to work outside the home because they want some kind of significance, something to keep from being bored, something to, you know, be interesting to them. So they're going back to work, and women are telling us, there's nobody to lead women's ministries in our local church. So who's doing it? The younger women are doing it. The ones who are still raising their kids and don't have the life experience and need the older woman input. And so the younger women are saying, where are the older women? A lot of the older women are saying, "That's we've done our part." And I just keep envisioning, what if millions of these boomer women who are followers of Jesus, or claim to be, would say, God has given me a gift of a season here where I could be. I'm not saying whether you go out to work or not. That's not really the point. The point is, are you investing your life and making it count in a way that is thinking beyond this life?
Right.
It's thinking about eternity. I think of Elizabeth Elliot starting Gateway to Joy radio program when she was 63 years old.
Right. And you're not near there yet.
I'm so not
you've
near
got
there
quite
yet.
A few more years to go.
In a conversation with Susan Hunt, I said to her, how old were you when you wrote your first book? And she said, oh, 60-something. You know, just like, and that was when she started.
And that's
books.
Not to say that every woman is going to be able to write books or start a radio program. It's not how visible it is.
Right.
But it's, are you investing your life? Do you say, I don't know, I don't know any younger women, or they're not interested in what I have to offer. I tell you, you'd be surprised. You'd make yourself available and look around.
Look around.
And ask God, what do you have for me in this season? I love that story of Caleb. Saying at age 85, having already served the Lord faithfully for many years, give me one more mountain for Jehovah.
Right.
I want to do it for him. He says, you've given me strength. You've given me the desire to do this. And you know what he does? He does and takes the city that belonged to the Anakim. You know who the Anakim were? They were the ones who 40 years earlier, when he was one of the spies who went into Israel, and the 10 came back and said, they're too big for us. And Joshua and Caleb said, by God's grace, we can take them. It's the Anakim that they said were big as giants.
Yeah.
That kept the children of Israel from going into the promised land. 45 years later, he's age 85, he says, I want to take the Anakim. I want to take him for God's glory. Now, I just think at 85, you could be forgiven for not wanting to take down giants and mountains, right? But what if God has something for me, for you, in terms of investing in other lives? And can you imagine if in this country there was a host of Christian women who, and single women, who would say, I have the freedom. I can move to another country to share Jesus. I can learn another language. Or I can move into this urban neighborhood and get involved in helping in this community and sharing Jesus Christ. I can get involved in my crisis pregnancy center. I can get involved in this prison ministry. I can get involved in discipling 12-year-olds in a class in my church. The opportunities are endless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why should we leave it to the moms who've got four kids or more, or, you know, in a season of life where they are so stretched, when God gives us a season where there's some margin, let's be sure we're asking him how it can be used for his glory, for the advancement of his kingdom. And I just can imagine, this is part of the vision of Revive Our Hearts, that there'd be this whole swath of that boomer demographic who would say, we are not going to sleep. Ask the Lord, is there something of eternal significance that you have for my life? It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be grandiose. But what if millions of us Christian women who are, when God puts us in a season with some time and resources on our hands, would say, here am I, Lord.
Right.
I'm available. Who can I talk to about Jesus? Who can I mentor? Who can I nurture? Who can I nourish? How can I serve? Who can I cook meals for? Who can I, where do you want me to plug in? And God will put a passion in your heart. He will put opportunities there. I just pray that we will be available and we will say yes. And I believe in a quiet sort of counter-revolution that we could have huge influence on the selfishness, the worldliness, the lack of interest in the gospel among so many of those who are coming behind. I believe God could send revival. If we had praying women, serving women, going women, giving women. I'm not saying fill every spare minute of your life with busyness. You might be like Anna, that God calls you to hours a day of prayer. Maybe that's the calling he'll have for you. I don't know what it is, but find out what it is and let God use you for his glory and for his kingdom. And then it will be said of you, as it said in Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Full day, that's when we see Jesus. And so I just want to challenge you, let his light in you shine brighter and brighter. Don't let tiredness or anything be an excuse for what God may want to do in and through your life in this season.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been casting a vision for older women. It's time to engage, invest, and embrace all God has for you. One way to start is to get a CD copy of this series, Flourishing in the Empty Nest. It just so happens that we'll send you your own copy as a thank you when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. It's your donation that will help us speak to women in all seasons of life, encouraging them to wholeheartedly embrace all God has for them. Ask for the series Flourishing in the Empty Nest when you call with your donation of any amount. The number to call is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can always visit reviveourhearts.com. So, parents want to teach their kids to be good, right? Elise Fitzpatrick will join us tomorrow with something even better to teach kids, the gospel. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.